Hey, everybody, and welcome back to I Just Had a Terrible Thought, the only show on the internet. My name is Kyle, and with me today is nobody, because this is actually the morning of Saturday, Saturday, the 21st of January, 2012. Normally, we would have recorded the podcast last night, but Orion couldn't make it due to the weather. The weather outside is frightful, and the snow is so delightful. He sent me an email last night saying he couldn't make it due to the weather. And just for the record, everything's fine because I have in the past gotten upset with him for not being able to make it. But this makes total sense to me. The roads are pretty awful. But so I decided to do a show by myself. Right now, my roommate John is out of town, so that wasn't an option. And I'm okay with doing a show by myself every once in a while. I don't think they're the best shows, but I'm all right with it. And I have something to address today that really doesn't, you know, the last few episodes we've talked about my sister and her upcoming wedding, and people were telling me to go. I was saying I didn't want to. I ultimately decided I wasn't going to go. And as a result, I was talking a lot about how I feel about family and how it doesn't seem to sync up at all with anybody else's opinion on the subject of family. And I know that, and I expect that kind of reaction, but I'm confused by why people don't feel the same way I do about family. And my best guess would be that other people really, really like their family. They just really identify with them. And so they assume that's because they are family, you know, because that's what everybody tells you, is that family is important and that they'll always be your family. They're the only person or the only group of people in your life who will always be what they are. They will always, like, my dad will always be my dad. My mom will always be my mom. There's nothing I could do to change that if I wanted to. And most people wouldn't want to. And I don't really necessarily want to either. But I talking to myself here, whenever I do a show by myself, I get nervous. And that makes me lose my train of thought. But what I was saying was that I don't think people understand what I mean when I say that family isn't that big of a deal to me, that they're just other people, because other people really like their family. So I wanted to talk some more about family today. And I think Orion understands my view on family, but I don't think he necessarily agrees with it, or at least I don't think he feels the same way about his family. And so, like last week when I went off about my sister's wedding and I was addressing everybody in the forums, Orion didn't have a lot to say on that subject, and that makes sense to me. And so I feel bad. And so I guess this would be a good time, if I'm going to do a show by myself, to address some more of this stuff and hopefully just kind of fucking wrap this whole thing up. And so next week we can get on to talking about dicks or whatever. So after the last episode, the last few episodes, I was talking about my sister and how much I didn't like her. Last episode, I kind of tried to emphasize that it's not that I hate her now. When I was a child, I hated my sister. She was evil. But it's not so much that I hate her now, it's just that I don't like her. There's nothing really likable about her. And I did say last week that there had been a handful of good times, but that they didn't make up for the bad times and the general distaste I have for my sister. My mom listens to the show, and I knew that. And so she sent me an email after the last show, and I'm going to read it because she didn't tell me not to, and she has told me not to before. So, I mean, she knows that this is kind of how this goes. So I'm going to read it. The heading, the subject of the email is, I think it is time, ... which this is funny to me just because it's a weird stylistic thing for such a serious conversation. But she says, I think it's time, ... in the subject. And then the first line of the actual email is, ... for me to weigh in on your sister's wedding, on the your sister's wedding topic. She says, I'm not going to tell you to go or not go. Okay, so don't sweat that. Well, thanks, Mom. But here's the thing. Your resentment and hatred toward your sister are disproportionate to everything that has gone before, and that worries me for you, not her. Since your breakup with Lara quite a few years ago now, Lara was my most recent ex-girlfriend and the one whom I was living with, and afterwards I had to move out after she broke up with me, and we had just gone on a vacation, a couple of trips to other countries. I'd maxed out my credit card. I just bought a new car that I was paying payments on, all this stuff. So it was not her fault, but all of a sudden I had all these financial obligations that I could no longer afford when I had to move out of where I was living. And so that was kind of a rough period for me. And I'm still not quite out of it. But ever since your breakup with Lara quite a few years ago now, you seem to become more angry, bitter, and judgmental with every passing year. I know that was a painful blow for you, and you had to deal with a lot of difficult things, and maybe that has made you jaded. But as your mother, this has become very painful to watch. You don't seem to value people or relationships at all. And that's not true. That's just plain not true. I do value people and relationships. But I'll keep going. Yes, she was a big pain in your ass when you were kids. Yes, she did things to deliberately torment you. She acknowledged that several years ago when you and she and I all had a discussion on that topic back when you and Orion were living together the first time. I don't remember this at all. And it seems like something that I would remember, and I don't. But I won't deny that it happened because maybe, I mean, I don't think my mom would lie about it, but I do not remember it. She was a terribly lonely kid who was in desperate need of attention. Your dad wasn't there. I was working all the time. You were the only one there, and you had basically no interest in her. The only way she could get your attention was to get it negatively by tormenting you. Normal behavior wouldn't do it. She needed it desperately, so that is what she did. She tormented you to the point that you were forced to give her that attention, that negative attention, because negative attention was better than no attention at all. We all discussed all of this. I thought at the time of our discussion that you understood it at least, even if you couldn't empathize with her. Oh boy. Okay. This is retarded. If I don't remember this discussion at all, but that's not the retarded part. The retarded part is what she apparently said and what her apparent motivation was for tormenting me as a kid. Her motivation was that my parents worked and she and I would be home alone. And while I was content to do my own fucking thing, she was lonely. So her motivation for being a giant bitch was that she was lonely and that she needed attention, which makes her sound like a fucking animal, by the way. Okay, so she needs attention and she can't get positive attention out of me, which is also total bullshit. Like, I would totally play a video game with her, or we used to play together when I liked her. That's not the way this happened. It didn't happen that I stopped paying attention to her and then she started being a bitch. But it doesn't matter even if that was the way it happened, because the idea that negative attention is better than no attention at all is nonsense. And anybody who feels that way is retarded. You are a fucking animal if you operate that way. Because I'm sure it wasn't a conscious thought, right? She wasn't sitting there thinking, he won't pay attention to me. Well, I'll make him pay attention to me, even if it's negative attention. I'm sure that wasn't what she was thinking at the time. So it's like this weird subliminal animal fucking thing that she's not even conscious of what she's doing. And if she was conscious of what she's doing, it was completely irrational and stupid. I either don't buy it, or I think it's just a horrible excuse. And if it's absolutely true, I find that annoying. I find that is her strategy at the time completely retarded and annoying. Let's see. Where's the email go from there? The only thing I know of that she has ever done to annoy you as an adult was when she busted you for smoking when you didn't want me to know that you were, even though you were a 25-year-old man who shouldn't have felt like you had to hide crap from your mother. I agree. I was a 25-year-old man who should have felt like I didn't have to hide crap from my mother. But it's emails like these that are the reason you're not my friend on Facebook, or why I don't tell you things. This is why, because you are guilt trippy and emotional, and you don't react well. If I'd called you up and said, yeah, I started smoking. I know it's not a good idea. I know all that, but I don't know. It feels good. I like it. I was curious about it, so I tried it, and I like it, and so I'm doing it now. I don't intend to do it for the rest of my life. I know it bothers you because your mom smoked her entire life and basically smoked herself to death even when she was on oxygen. But, you know, I like it, and I wanted to do it, so I'm doing it. I am a 25-year-old man. I can do what I want. If I had called you and told you those things, it would have turned into you trying to hold back tears and you telling me about how you know how I feel about smoking. It killed my mother. All this stuff. So no, I couldn't tell you those things unless I didn't care how you felt about it, or at least how you were going to react and how that was going to make me feel. Where were we? I keep losing my place in this thing. You were a 25-year-old man who shouldn't have felt like you had to hide crap from your mother. I may not always approve of the decisions you make, mostly because I don't like the idea of you doing harm to yourself, because I love you and will always want the best for you. But I do respect your right to make those decisions simply because you are an adult. Well, good. She has always cared for you and she does miss you. This is referring to my sister again. If she misses me, she's an idiot. We did not, the handful of good times that we did have were not enough to miss me for. There's nothing to miss about me from her perspective. What does she miss? She misses me being annoyed with her. She misses me probably talking condescendingly to her because she does strike me as kind of an idiot. What does she miss about me? She just misses her brother because she's supposed to? I don't know. And she's always cared for me. Well, that has never seemed terribly apparent. You may not reciprocate, and that is your choice. Yes, it is. But she has done nothing as an adult to warrant your hatred of her. It doesn't matter. Like I said last week, it doesn't matter if she's done anything or not, which she kind of, she's done enough to annoy me. And her as a human being, her personality, everything about her does annoy me. Now, is that unfortunate? Yes. But there's nothing I can really do about that. And anyone else in life, if they annoyed me, you would not expect me to voluntarily spend time with them or reach out to contact them or whatever it is you want me to do here that you would like for me to do here. But she's done nothing as an adult to warrant your hatred of her. Sure, she hasn't always made the best judgments in her own life, but neither have you. It's not really about that. Everybody makes mistakes. The problem is her on a fundamental level. I disagree with her as a person. Like anytime we have to talk about anything of any, even the most remote importance, we completely disagree. And I find it impossible to relate. Let's see. She is doing what most of us do, the best she can. Good for her. I don't want her to die. You know, go live your own life. Be happy. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, that's fine. But it doesn't have to involve me. It is wrong for you to denigrate her on your show for your own amusement and the amusement of your listeners. Well, then I guess I'm wrong. It is also wrong for you to say what she is and is not capable of doing with her life, i.e. you're jeering at her one-time desire to be an attorney. You don't know what she's capable of. I disagree. I completely disagree that I don't know what she's capable of. I think I do know what she's capable of, and she's not capable of being an attorney. She may not have quite your IQ. Few people do. Okay. But is quite bright, and she ambition and passion... but is quite bright and has ambition and passion, I assume is what she meant. She's willing to work hard to achieve what she wants. I'm not positive that that's true, but it doesn't really matter either way, because it doesn't matter how hard you work, even if she managed to become an attorney, which this is not even really an issue. It's just the only reason I brought it up was because it's an example of how she annoys me and how even if you want to say like, that's not her fault, you know, like maybe she really thought she could be an attorney and maybe even I'm wrong. You know, maybe she could be an attorney. Let's just accept that I could be wrong here and she could do it. The fact that she wanted to do it struck me as so fucking stupid. That's all it was, is an example of why I can't hang around with her, why she bothers me, because she strikes me as stupid and the things she cares about strike me as stupid. The things she wants to do with her life strike me as stupid, and I can't find common ground here. Even when one thing you would expect siblings to have, you know, as a part of their relationship is an ability to talk to each other. If we have nothing else, we can talk shit about our own parents, you know? And that, you know, it's shitty. It's a shitty thing to say to my mom, but I'm sure you know what I mean. If nothing else, if our parents are being annoying, we can talk to each other about that. But we don't even have that, because the things she finds annoying about you guys are completely ridiculous. Like, dad won't buy me a computer. What an asshole. And if I were to talk shit about my parents, about the, dad does this or mom does this, it would get back to you guys. Cause that's what she's like. She's a rat. She likes to, apparently, like you said up there about her loving negative attention. If that's all she can get, she likes to get attention. So she'll take it by ratting me out, creating drama, whatever. So we don't even have that. Let's see. Where were we in here? She may not have quite your IQ, but she's willing to work hard to achieve what she wants. She can be and do whatever she wants. If she wants it bad enough, so can you. That's bullshit. For me as well. I'm not saying I'm so great I can do whatever I want if I want it bad enough. That's bullshit. That's a bullshit thing people tell people. It's nonsense. I've always told both of you that. As long as you are willing to work hard enough to get there, you'll get there. And I'm not even, it's bullshit. And it's not even like, what if I wanted to be a dinosaur? I could never be a dinosaur. I'm not even taking it to that ridiculous a level. It's just plain bullshit. I could never be a lot of things, no matter how bad I wanted it. She has matured a lot over the years, but you wouldn't know that because you have had no contact with her in well over 2 years. Has she really matured a lot in the past 2 years? Not since before I moved here. My mom, for anyone who doesn't know, and if you don't know, I'm surprised you're still listening, but to me talking today. But my mom, a couple years ago, moved to Australia. So that's where she's writing this email from. Until your very recent phone conversation when she was at your dad's, which was another annoying thing. My dad wanted me to call him to talk about some art project he wanted me to work on with him, and he used it as an opportunity to trick me into talking to my sister, which is shitty. I blame myself for not instilling in you the feeling that family is important, because quite frankly, it is. Well, quite frankly, Mom, you're wrong. Then she says, your family are the people that will love you and be there for you even when you are a jerk, just because you are theirs. That is nuts. That is nuts. What if I started murdering people? Would you still be there for me then? Would you still love me and be there for me? Because that is nuts. When Jeffrey Dahmer's parents started hanging out at the prison because even though he was a horrible, horrible man who killed and ate parts of people and lobotomized people with a fucking power drill, and they still went there because, God damn it, despite everything, he is our son. That is nuts. She says, remember the email I sent you for your birthday where I told you all the reasons I am proud of you? Well, all those reasons are true, and I am proud of you for them. But there are also a lot of things that I wish I had managed to teach you that I have failed at, and most important of those is empathy and compassion. You are sorely lacking in those traits. That's not true. That's just not true. The truth is, I definitely have compassion and empathy, just not in situations where I don't feel that it's warranted. And you know what? I can, like, if you've ever heard me talk about these kinds of things, I make excuses for you guys when you're upsetting me. I'll say, well, maybe this, maybe that happened. I'm not crazy. You're basically calling me a sociopath here by saying I lack empathy and compassion. Of course I don't. But I just, if that's how you feel, then what am I going to do about it? You know, like, if I lacked empathy and compassion, I wouldn't cry at movies. I cry at movies like a big stupid baby sometimes. Not as much as I did as a kid, because now I'm a man and real men don't cry. But I still do. And I wouldn't be capable of that if I didn't have empathy and compassion. And I don't like tooting my own fucking horn, especially when I didn't actually do anything. But when we talked a little while ago about the friend of mine who apparently has brain cancer and how I guess she didn't have the money to pay for her bills. And I started talking about, well, what if I built a website and tried to promote it where we could take donations to help her pay for her bills? I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not, but I guess Orion talked to her and she said, that's not really how that works. You can't just pay cash for these things, which doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's true. I think she was just trying to brush it off because it seemed like something she was uncomfortable with, which is fine. You know, it's her life. But I wouldn't have said all that stuff. Like, that's just, if I had done all those things, if she had given me the okay and I'd made this website with a PayPal donate button that I had to manage, I had to pay for the domain name and the hosting, and I had to manage this website, make sure everything was legit, make sure I knew how to get the money to her, you know, and like set up accounts and all this stuff, it would have been a giant pain in my ass. I'm not very good at web development, but I would have had to make a website for this thing. It would have been a pain in my ass. But I wanted to do it because I do not lack empathy and compassion. The idea of a friend of mine having a brain tumor and doing nothing about it because they don't have enough money kills me inside. That really does. The idea that a friend of mine might die because they didn't have enough money, it just destroys me inside. And the fact that I'm not all gooey over it and blubbering about it doesn't mean I lack empathy and compassion. So I'm insulted by the idea that you think I lack empathy and compassion. At the end of the email, my mom says, I love you, and whether or not you go to your sister's wedding, I will always love you. You don't have to go, and you can probably get out of it with minimal hurt to her just by reiterating how much you hate weddings, etc. But if you don't go, I think you should make a point to see her at some point soon just to catch up, because she is your sister. She is the only one you've got, and believe it or not, family is important. Mom. You can't make these things true just by saying them. You can't say, believe it or not, family is important. And that makes it true. It's just not the way these things work. And it isn't important. It's just not. Like, I haven't seen any of you in probably 2 years. And my life hasn't been perfect, but it hasn't been worse. Because of that, family is not that important. And I don't want to hurt you, but I also don't like lying and hiding the things I think and the things I feel. And I don't like that every time, like, I don't like that my family has turned into this. It feels like my past has these tentacles wrapped around my ankles. And a lot of times they loosen up and, you know, I'm going about my life. And then every once in a while, I get one of these emails and the tentacles just tighten and start trying to drag me backwards. You know, like, I feel like I've escaped a situation and I keep getting dragged back into it by well-meaning, but misguided people. It's like, I don't miss, like, people talk about, you know, they want to go home for Christmas. They want to go home for the holidays. Oh, it's so nice to be home. I don't have a home in that sense. This, where I'm sitting right now, is my home, and there is no other home for me out there. And not just literally because the house I grew up in is no longer occupied by my family, but because I don't feel at home when I go to my dad's house, or when I went to my mom's apartment before she left for Australia, or when I went to my sister's apartment. I don't feel at home with those people. I feel like I've gone, you know, I feel like I'm in a class or something, or like, you know, I'm waiting to go back to my actual home and my actual life. When I get dragged back to do things with the family, like I said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to. It feels like an obligation. It feels like I'm being asked to do something I don't want to do, and I do it for the sake of your feelings, because it does bother me, the idea of hurting your feelings. I'm not cool with that. I'm not just okay with making you cry. That's why things like this bother me so much. That's why. I didn't want to tell you about my smoking because I knew it would bother you. I knew it would choke you up, and I knew you wouldn't even mean to do it, but you'd get guilt trippy on me. And that bothers me. It bothers me to hear you tear up. But I feel like I've outgrown my family. And it sounds shitty. It sounds narcissistic. It sounds egotistical. It sounds like I think I'm so much better than you guys. It's not that I'm so much better. It's just that I feel like an alien. I feel like adopted or something. Like, I don't belong. I have nothing in common with any of you, aside from the fact that I grew up in the same house. And I've kind of felt like that for a long time. It's gotten worse over the years, mostly because of distance, because now I have a different perspective on the whole thing. When I was a kid, I used to not idolize my father. A lot of kids do that. Like, you hear, Dad ran out when I was a kid, and so I grow up thinking he's the best guy because I don't know anything about him. And I just, you know, I get in fights with my mom and I idolize my dad, and I just want, one day I'm going to move out and I'm going to find my dad and we're going to be best friends. It's nothing like that, but I did kind of see my dad as a sanctuary from the house I grew up in with two women, both of whom seemed to have emotional control issues. My dad seemed like the rational guy. The guy who had interests closer to mine. He liked playing video games. He liked movies that I liked. He liked sci-fi stuff. He liked drawing. He liked art. He had so many interests that were closer to mine. He collected action figures for a while. And so I saw going to his place to a certain extent as kind of a sanctuary. Like, this is the guy in my family, the one guy in my family I can relate to. And I was wrong. You know, I had built him up to a certain extent because I didn't know much about him because he wasn't around. He was never around when I was a kid because he was always at work. And he was never around after you guys got divorced because he lived in a different place. And eventually he was living with his parents, my grandparents. And he would take us for the weekend and like go get a hotel room for us all to stay in. And like we'd go do fun stuff. Then he got a girlfriend and stopped taking us regularly. He was supposed to take us every other weekend and he skipped several of them to be with his girlfriend, which didn't really bother me much at the time, but it's kind of a shitty thing to do. And I still didn't see him much then. And when I would see him, it would be every other weekend at best. And a lot of times it was to do fun stuff, like let's go to an amusement park or let's go and play mini golf, because I think to a certain extent he was trying to make up for things, trying to win us over. And also because there was no place to take us. He lived in my grandparents' attic. And then when he got his own place, I started to see more and more of him. And then, I started to kind of lose that feeling, but I still sort of felt like, yeah, you know, my dad and I, we're into computers. We're into a lot of the same stuff. At least we've got that. And then I moved away, and my interactions with him since I have moved out to where I live now have led me to believe that I was very much mistaken about him. I started to learn it before I moved away, like the time I was at his house and my sister was at his house and she was going through a phase which annoyed the shit out of me, where she was looking up spells and witchcrafty things, looking up spells for weight loss and monetary gain, which is retarded. Another one of the things that bothers me about her is how stupid and gullible she is. But she started looking up those things on his computer and he caught her doing it. And he was legitimately upset because that's witchcraft and that's against God. And he legitimately seemed fearful for her, which was fucking ridiculous. And I even tried to argue with him about it. And I was blown away that he was so fucking stupid. That my dad, who I thought was the rational one in the family, was a fucking moron on something like that. Blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And I found out over time that he is not the rational guy I thought he was. He's just, he's a recluse and he's a cranky man and he is not very rational. He just happens to be kind of good at puzzles, but he's not that rational. And that bothers me. You know, the time when we had the big fight, the big blow up over Einstein failing math and me daring to show my dad a website debunking his idea that the Fibonacci sequence was some kind of mystery solution to the creation of life on this planet. His reaction to that stuff also blew me away. I could not fucking believe it. And the way he types, I mean, that's not so important, but the way he types like a little child, like he doesn't know when to use punctuation or capitalization. He doesn't know how to spell. And just the things he was saying, the way he would suddenly turn and make direct attacks on my character when we're arguing about a very specific subject, rather than argue the subject at hand, he tried to hurt me. And believe it or not, I have never tried to hurt any of you. The problem is that I do a podcast now. The problem is that, see, you think over the last few years since my breakup with Lara, I've gotten bitter and judgmental. And I have no empathy and compassion. And I'm sure you think that that's all related. And it's not. The truth is, you've just never heard me speak like this because I didn't used to do it in front of you. And I could have chosen, when I found out that you were listening to the show, I could have chosen to keep all those things inside and to say, you know what? My mom's listening. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I won't say what I'm thinking right now. But I like doing the podcast and I like the fact that I can say whatever I want on there. And I'm going to continue to say whatever I want on there. And that means you hear a lot of shit that you weren't ever meant to hear. And that's what it is. It's not that I've changed. It's that I used to spare you. That's what it is. And I'm losing my train of thought again. I was talking about my dad and how he was trying to hurt me. See, the thing is, I was using my dad as an example. I thought that he was the one guy out of all of you. You know, I don't dislike you, Mom, but I thought he was the one guy I could relate to. And it's not true. I can't relate to him at all. I can't. It's like we're just slightly out of shift with each other. Like, I should be able to. We do have a lot of the same interests. But when you actually go into those interests, they're all mismatched. I like video games. My dad likes video games, but my dad likes video games that I don't like and doesn't give a shit about the video games that I do like. My dad likes sci-fi movies and I like sci-fi movies, but the sci-fi movies my dad likes aren't the ones that I like. Lots of shit like that. And the fact that he apparently thinks of me as a child. I'm nearly 30. and he thinks of me as a child. He doesn't want to hear anything that I have to say. Every time I have called him, he, before, when he was still working, he would bitch about work, which is fine. You know, people need to vent. But if I tried to relate to him with a story about my work, he would just go, yeah, brush it off and then tell me more shit. Like it, there was a tone and there was a way he would react to the things I would say that was like, yeah, okay, kid, you don't fucking know what you're talking about. I'm talking big boy jobs. I stamp car parts. You could not possibly understand. What are you doing at work? Playing with blocks? He doesn't
give a shit. He thinks of me as a child and he doesn't respect me.
If we argued about something and I was completely right, he wouldn't give a shit. That's why he retreats to his personal insults. So I can't relate to him. And I've always had trouble relating to my sister. I have never been able to. We don't have the same interests. We don't even have a similar fucking brain. We just don't operate at all the same. I really do. If it weren't for the physical, facial similarities between all of us, I would seriously think that I had somehow been dropped off on the porch by some family you guys didn't know, because I really don't feel like I belong there at all. And mom has been probably, although I didn't realize it at the time, probably the most relatable out of all of you. But the only things really that we could relate on were, it wasn't even that we were relating. It was just that we would have conversations because you were always there. But you know, you had no idea what the fuck was going on when I was in high school and my grades started dropping. All it did was scare you to the point where you actually attacked me one day. And I don't hold that against you. Like, I can't believe you would fucking do that. It happened once, and I think you would acknowledge that it was a mistake, but it's a symptom of a problem that's existed my entire life, which is that none of you understand me. And I know, you know, wah, my family doesn't understand me. You know, I sound like a angry 16-year-old, like I'm going to go, you know, listen to some shitty metal after this and like slam my door and put up a sign that says, do not enter. But it's true. None of you understand me. You cannot relate to me. And, you know, maybe that's my fault, but if it is, there's nothing I can do about it. And I feel like we're clinging, I'm not clinging to it. I feel like you guys are clinging to something that's never existed. And I don't know what to do about that. You know, like I said, I don't want to hurt you guys. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't know what to do about it. And I guess that's all I've got to say, you know, on that. And it probably bothers you that I chose to do this on the podcast rather than to email you back, but I feel like I can respond better this way. And I feel like to take it to email now, because it's a part of the same fucking conversation, to take it to email now, I would have felt compelled to talk about it anyway. And I know you're going to listen to this. So this felt like the best way to express what I wanted to express. And I get to entertain my listeners. Which I'm actually probably doing a terrible job of, but, let's see. I think I may take a short break here. This is probably going to be kind of a short show, but after I come back from the break, I'm going to get into the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that stuff. Okay. Bye.
Now I'm sure that most of you have used a dial telephone before.
So what are you waiting for, retard?
Hey, I am not retarded.
Get involved. Speak your mind. We do.
If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Call 616-328-5581.
All right, I'm going to do it.
And I am back. During the break, you know, I know I said right before the break that when I got back, I'd move on from all this family stuff and get onto the Facebooks and Twitters and all that stuff. And I will do that. But first, I realized during the break that I skipped over a couple of small parts of my mom's email, and they were kind of important parts. And I don't want her to think that I skipped them on purpose because they were somehow contrary to my position and I felt that they would be damaging or something. So I'm going to address quickly those parts that I actually accidentally skipped. I read the part about how we had a discussion several years ago when Orion and I were living together the first time, and how my sister, we talked about how my sister was a lonely kid who was in desperate need of attention. I read all that, but then I skipped the next part, which is she actually, this is my mom talking now, she actually apologized to you for that when we had that conversation, and her apology was sincere. It is obvious you have chosen not to forgive her. That is your right, of course. Now, like I said, I do not remember this conversation that we had, but I do not deny that it happened because I don't think my mom would lie about it. So my sister came to me and apologized for being a bitch when we were kids. And I guess I didn't forgive her. But it doesn't really matter, because if I did forgive her, it doesn't change that she's not a person that I can relate to. And like last week, I think it was Jeff in the forums said that my experiences with my sister as a kid seem to have informed me, my being, kind of like the situation with Santa Claus. When I was a kid, I believed in Santa Claus, probably more than other kids from what I've heard from other people. I 100% believed that there was a magic man living at the North Pole who could somehow get to every kid's house on Christmas and drop off presents with a flying reindeer and a flying sleigh. I believed he had elves up there. And I knew there were problems with this idea. Like I asked once, you know, what we go to stores and the mall and stuff, and there are Santas in all these different places that you can sit on their knee and get your picture taken with them. How is he at all these different stores at the same time? And my parents said, hey, those aren't the real Santa. Those are Santa's helpers. He has people go out and pose as him so that we can all get our picture taken with Santa. And I said, all right, I guess that makes sense. And when I eventually had to be told that Santa wasn't real, it killed me. It blew my mind. I bawled like a little baby. I couldn't believe it, that I'd been lied to my whole life, that you would let me believe something, not only let, but encouraged me to believe something so ridiculous. And it opened my eyes in a lot of ways. I think for most kids, the Santa thing isn't a big deal. I think their parents don't push it that hard. And maybe they're just not as gullible as I was when I was a kid, and they figure it out for themselves. My parents told me, you know, you have to be in bed or Santa won't come. He won't drop off the presents. So I never did the thing that a lot of kids did, where they went all over the house looking for presents. I didn't think they were there. And I didn't do the thing that a lot of kids did, where they would spy on their parents as they put the presents under the tree, because I believed that if I was awake, the presents wouldn't come. So I bought into all of that. And when I found out it wasn't true, I suddenly realized that it didn't make sense. You know, of course it's not true. There's a magic man who can fly and go to every house on the entire planet, even though as a kid I didn't have that good of a grasp on how impossible that would be. Even if he had to make it to every place I'd ever been, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So I should have known it was ridiculous, and I suddenly realized that. And it led ultimately to, in some ways, to my atheism. Because I suddenly realized that just because somebody said it's true, even if it's somebody I'm meant to respect, who would never lie to me, that doesn't make it true. I have to evaluate these things on their own merits. I wouldn't have put it that way at that age, but that was the idea, was I suddenly realized that I had to figure these things out for myself. I had to evaluate them and decide if they were true. And that was it was a good lesson to learn. I wish I would have learned it in a different way, but it was a good lesson to learn. And similarly, my experiences with my sister being just the bane of my existence led largely to the way I feel about family. I realized, you know, you're supposed to love your family and they're supposed to love you regardless. You know, they're your family. They'll always be your family, like my mom's saying. And I realized what I would have realized one way or another anyway, but my sister made it crystal clear to me that these are just people. You know, my sister was a horrible person when I was a kid. She was terrible. And if family really was all it was built up to be, that just would not be the case. She would not be able to do the things to me. She would not be able to go out of her way to hurt me on a regular basis if family was what I kept being told that it was. So yes, it has informed my being in a pretty significant way. But it's not like a trauma, like people used to ask me sometimes, you know, why don't you believe in God? What happened to you? It's not like I'm mad at God, you know, like somebody I loved died of cancer. Why would, if any God who would let that happen, I hate God. You know, it's that it doesn't make sense. It's that the trauma, whatever, it's ridiculous to call the Santa Claus thing a trauma, but the trauma just led me to a different way of thinking. It didn't make me hate. It just led me to be more questioning. And similarly with the sister thing, it's not like I am wounded and now I can't trust anymore or something like that. It's that it opened my eyes to the idea that, you know, these are just people. And I'm sorry, you know, that sucks to hear. Then my mom says in the email, the other part I skipped, she says, although as an adult she may annoy you, she has done nothing hateful to you. And she doesn't go around making random noises anymore. Jeez. Last week I mentioned that when my sister was a kid, she would walk around and just go for no reason. All the time. Just would happen randomly for no reason. She wasn't doing it at anybody. She was just doing it. And my mom is now saying she does not do that as an adult, which is a lie. Maybe she stopped doing it within the last like 2-3 years. I wouldn't know. But she definitely was still doing it into her 20s. I have seen her do it. So that's a lie. Then my mom says, in fact, she has been very kind to you on many occasions. Remember when you decided you wanted to collect all the Nintendo systems/games and she spent a good portion of her own paycheck to buy you a classic Nintendo and games for it? Not for a birthday or Christmas, but just because? She even kept buying you games for a while. Now this one, I do remember that. When I said last week that there had been a handful of good times, that was actually one of them that I was thinking of. That was the only one that stood out to me, was this time, this one time in my life that I could think of that she had been really nice to me. And even at the time, like, that was weird. That was a weird thing to happen. But of course, it was super nice. Yes, she bought me some Nintendo games and an NES when I got into collecting video games, which I haven't been doing for years, but mostly due to financial reasons. But anyway, yes, I do remember that. And yes, that was a super nice thing. The problem is that it doesn't really change anything. It's part of the reason I don't hate her, because I know she's capable of being nice. I know she's not a monster like I believed when I was a kid, but it doesn't change the fact that she as a person is someone the most basic thing about it is that I can't relate to her. That's all it needs to be, is that I can't relate to her. And when I try, it doesn't work out. Like I said, whenever I've gone home in quotes, when you were still living in the country, and I would go back to our, not even our hometown, because nobody lives in our hometown anymore, but back to the area you guys were living in at the time, and we would hang out for Christmas or Thanksgiving or a birthday or whatever it happened to be, it wouldn't be long before we were at each other, because we don't like each other. And I think the thing that happens is that I go away, time goes by, and she forgets that she doesn't like me. She forgets, and I don't. And I think that that's the difference. I think that's why she bought me a bunch of Nintendo games, because she has the idea of her brother in her head and family, like everybody. I guess I can't really blame her. That's what everybody thinks. But she has this idea in her head that she needs to have a relationship with her brother. So that was, I guess, an olive branch. But it doesn't really matter, because you can't fix who you are. I can't make myself like her any more than she can make herself likable. That's what it boils down to. So depressing. Those were the parts that I skipped of the email. And I thought, you know, she's mentioning this one time my sister did a very nice thing for me. And she's mentioning specifically that she apologized to me. I thought that if I didn't read those, she would think I had done it on purpose and that I was, you know, trying to leave those out because they didn't help my case, which is not the case. I just was kind of scatterbrained when I was reading through the thing and I skipped over it. But that's my mom's email. That's how I feel about family. This has been a very heavy episode, hopefully not too boring, But now, like I said before, I'm going to get into the Facebooks and the Twitters. And simply because, actually, I don't think we got anything on the Facebook this week. So I'm going to start with the Twitter. And it's going to take me a second because I got to figure out what people said to me about the show and what were conversations I was having. Okay. The Grey Ghost Net, Sean Ryan of Method to Madness and Alpha Protocol Podcasts says, ever get to meet someone that you idolize or admire, famous or not famous? I know it's kind of relative. And then he says, I guess I'm mostly curious about how you feel about the old idea that folks shouldn't meet their heroes. For me, it depends on the dose. I don't think that I have. I don't think that I have. I mean, I've when I was really into punk rock, I guess I sort of met a couple of people from bands, but not really. Like, I just sort of saw them at merch booths and that kind of thing. I didn't meet them. And I didn't really idolize them either. I just liked the music they were making. I can't think of a time that I've met any of my heroes or someone that I idolize. But I do think that the old idea that folks shouldn't meet their heroes, I think it depends. I think the idea behind that, I'm guessing, is that if you meet them, you're going to be disappointed, or at least there's a big risk that you're going to be disappointed, because all that you know them from, presumably, is the good stuff. You know, if it's an actor, you know them from playing characters you like, or if it's a writer, you know them from their books. And, you know, if it's anybody creative, you know them from their creative works. And those endeavors are designed to be the best that they have to offer. That's what they're trying to do. So if you meet them, you're just going to see that they're at best, probably that they're a regular person and that they're not this, you know, larger than life thing that you think they are. And at worst, you might not like them. You might think they're kind of a shithead. And of course, you run the risk of them not liking you, which could also be kind of hurtful. So I can see all of that. But I do think it really depends, because I think as long as you go into it with the right mindset, this is just a guy or a girl, and that you like what they do and you would like to have a conversation with them, I think it can be fine. You know, just go into it with realistic expectations. But no, I don't think I've ever met anybody I idolize or somebody who I consider a hero or anything like that. Then Gavin Allman says, my day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 9 p.m. because of big boy job. How do I stop myself from killing everyone? My day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 9 p.m. I'm guessing you mean your day starts at 6 p.m. because that's when you're out of work and ends at 9 p.m. because that's when you have to go to bed. Either that, or I think this is a typo because it doesn't make sense that your day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 9 p.m. So I think what you're saying is that you basically have 3 hours after work because of your new job. How do you stop yourself from killing everyone? It's difficult, man. You know, as stupid as it is and childish as it sounds to say, working really, really, really sucks. It just really does. And it's, it's very easy to get locked in these cycles that are like, you know, I go to work, I come home, I just want to relax. You know, all I want to do is maybe watch a little TV, watch a movie, play a video game or whatever. And then you go back to work the next day and you work the whole day and you come home and you're like, I don't have the time or the energy to do anything but just relax. So you do the whole thing all over again. And before you know it, fucking years have gone by and you've done nothing that you wanted to do except basic relaxation kind of activities. Just trying to let the time pass in a way that isn't excruciating in the time that you have off. Very easy to get locked into that kind of stuff. And I guess for me now, for a long time, I just hated it so much. And I kept feeling like, God, if I can just get through this for now, someday there will come a time when I can just escape it and it will be over. But I never did anything toward that end. And I think for me now, even if it doesn't actually end up leading me anywhere, even if it just continues to be me talking into a microphone every week on Friday and then working a bullshit job the rest of the week, and that's all I ever do, the podcast still helps me feel like I'm accomplishing something. You know, like I've got something going on other than just consuming shit and working for someone else, doing things I don't care about, producing things I don't care about. But beyond that, I don't really know. You know, how do you keep from killing everyone? I don't know. I have talked on the show. This is kind of a serious and depressing show, and I didn't really mean for it to be, but I kind of knew it would take that turn. But I have also done episodes in the past where I was super depressed, and I just couldn't help it. And it'll probably happen again. And I don't know. I don't know how to stop yourself from hating it. The best advice I can give is advice that I have so far been unable to follow, which is to not take those shit jobs, to do what you want to do, even if it means you're, you know, super poor or whatever. But that's, I've heard that advice from other people, and it's kind of bullshit advice because you have to have some kind of support system to make it when things aren't going well. Like, let's say you want to be an animator. So maybe you'll start with Flash animations because that's the easiest thing to do by yourself. So you really, really, really want to be an animator. So all you're going to do is devote all of your time to animating. Well, if you are truly an independent person and you're out there on your own, you had better start making it as an animator pretty fucking quick, like unrealistically quick, or you're going to end up homeless. And people, like, they don't really think about that. Like, people who tell you to do things like, you know, just do what you like and ignore everything else. Fuck what anybody else says. Just do what you like and eventually the money will come. If they have done that, they had some kind of support system. They had parents who they lived with or friends who would let them live with them for free, or parents who, when times got low, would send them money or something. They had some way of making it without having to resort to taking a job. So I don't know, you know? All I know is it sucks working for someone else doing something you don't want to do. And as much as it seems like a baby thing to complain about, since pretty much the whole fucking world has to do it, that doesn't make it a good thing. You know, the fact that everybody has to do it doesn't make it not shitty. Let's see if anybody's asked me a question I can be upbeat about. Or at least, you know, not sad about. Bames Jond says, talk about the ball in a cup toy. I just bought one for like $3. I kick ass at it. I hate the ball in a cup toy. I hate the ball in a cup toy. It's not even a toy. It's just an activity to keep you busy when there's nothing, absolutely nothing else to do. It's for anybody who doesn't know, the ball in a cup toy, at least the thing I think he's talking about, is like a stick with a cup on the end of it. And inside the cup is a string. And on the end of the string is a ball. So you have the ball hanging out of the cup, like you're swinging it around on the end of the string, and you try to swing it up and get it to land in the cup. And then once it's landed in the cup, you drop it back out of the cup and you do it again. That's the ball in a cup toy. I also hate those toys that are just like a ping pong paddle with a piece of elastic and a ball on the end of it. And you just try to hit the ball and it comes back and you just hit the ball. You just stand there hitting the ball over and over and over and over and over. I hate that toy too. It's not a toy. It's just a thing to just sit. It's like twiddling your thumbs is just as much of a toy as that. When I was a kid, my favorite toys were action figures and building blocks. I loved my action figures because I could tell stories with them. You know, I could make up scenarios. I used to kind of customize my action figures. Like my Ninja Turtle action figures, those were the ones I had the most of. They had arms and legs, mostly the legs, but sometimes the arms, that could be popped off and could kind of be interchangeable. They weren't designed to be that way. They just happened to share the same ball joint system between figures. So I would like pop the legs off of one figure and pop the legs off another figure and swap their legs. And I would swap their equipment and stuff, you know, the weapons and belts and things that came with different characters. And I would like make little capes out of pieces of cloth or whatever. I would try to like customize my action figures to come up with new characters based on old figures. I also used to play with action figures from different lines together, you know, making stories I had these weird, almost like generic G.I. Joes. They weren't G.I. Joes, but they were kind of military dudes, action figures. And I would play with them with my Ninja Turtles. Like I'd do something like I had this thing. It was kind of like a little playset where it's like a rectangular tub with a sticker on the bottom of it that made it look like it was full of green ooze. This was a Ninja Turtles toy. And there was like an arch over the top of it. And on the top of the arch was a toilet. and the toilet would like open up and you could pour that old slime, that old ooze that they used to sell in little canisters to go with the Ninja Turtle toys. You could pour that through the hole in the toilet and it would fall through into that tub at the bottom. And there was a strap in the tub underneath the arch that you could strap down a figure into. And it was more like a torture device than like a piece of lab equipment. But I would sometimes pretend it was like a piece of lab equipment. And I would strap a dude down into the, like one of these little human dudes from another toy set into the thing and then dump the ooze or pretend to dump the ooze if I didn't have any. And then I'd swap him quickly for one of my Ninja Turtle figures and pretend he just mutated. You know, I liked creative stuff like that where I could make shit up. And the building blocks, I had wooden blocks that you just stack on top of each other. I liked those. I liked Legos were my favorite. I loved Legos for obvious reasons. You can make whatever the fuck you want out of them. I used to make vehicles and robots and all kinds of shit. I had both the regular Legos and the Lego Technics, and I would mix and match those. I had this one thing. It's not Legos or anything like that. I don't know what the toy line was called, but it was it consisted of these little blue plastic cubes with a little peg sticking off of each side of it. And then there were gray long plastic beams that were like a rectangular prism. They were open on one of the long sides, and then on the ends they had these little slots or whatever you want to call them that would fit over the pegs on the blue pieces. And so the blue pieces were like connective pieces, and you would build things out of the different lengths of the gray beams. And there were other pieces too, like these little yellow plastic wheels with black rubber tires on them that would also hook onto the little blue pegs. And you could build all kinds of shit out of those. I used to build robots out of those. And I found out once that the little thing, the little piece on like the end of the gray beams that would lock onto those pegs, you could lock one of the like single peg round Lego pieces, the ones that look kind of like skinnier versions of the little Lego guys' heads. You could lock the little cylindrical base of those into that spot where you would put those pegs in the other toy. So I would do that to create a connection for Legos so that I could mix my Legos with that other toy. I had one toy that was like, it was another construction toy, and you would build a tower. And then there was this thing that was like a base with a button on it and a hose coming out of it. And the hose would connect to the structure you just built. And the button was like, it looked kind of like a bigger version of one of those, of like a bendy straw, the little neck part of a bendy straw. And on top was sort of a dome. So you'd push that down and it would push air out the hose. And the hose would be hooked up to the tower and it would push the little pieces of the tower you'd put together in just such a way that the whole thing would fall down into itself. All the pieces would come apart. So it was kind of a demolition toy. I loved building toys because you could make all kinds of stuff. And I also used to use cardboard boxes, anything I could find to build like sets and things for when I was playing with my action figures. So that's the kind of toys I liked. I never liked the fucking ball in a cup toy or that paddle thing. That was a lot more serious too. I guess I'm just in a serious mood. Then Dolphin Hands or Dolphin Hands Tiger or Tiger with Dolphins for Hands in the forums on the Twitter says, if you found out that bacon was made from human meat, would you still eat it? I think I would eat it at least one more time, like after I found out, because I'd already eaten a bunch of fucking human meat. And if the human bacon is already out there, then not eating it one more time is not going to save any lives. So I would probably eat it at least one more time so I could see how it tasted while I knew I was eating human flesh. But beyond that, I would probably stop eating bacon. But I don't actually eat that much bacon anyway. I like bacon, but I don't eat it that often. And I guess that answers your question. We do have some voicemails this week, and I think they are all from I'm Kilo. And I think the first two, he did not want me to play. He wanted me to disregard them. So I'm going to skip to the third one. And I think that's this one.
Hey, Orion. I don't know if you want to perhaps push away the attention of the underage girls who come by and flirt with you asking you questions. But when that happens to me, and boy, does it, I like to weave in, oh, well, my wife really liked all these different piercings and she encouraged me to get them. Or, oh, my child kept me up really late last night, so sorry if I didn't quite hear you at first. I'm a little bit sleepy. That actually needs some more explanation. If they come up and ask you a question, wait a beat and then go, I'm sorry, can you say that again? I was up so late last night because my kid was keeping me up, that sort of thing. And for some people, that will push them away, and for others, that will actually pull them in even closer, because then they'll have a question like, oh, how old is your kid? Oh, you are with a person, with a girl. Geez, I don't know why that was hard to get out of my mouth. And feel free to just lie about the wife part, or just weave in fiance or girlfriend, or however you want to do it.
Looks like I picked the wrong one to start with, because Orion's not here. But I agree with what he said at the end, that depending on how crazy these people are, it kind of might not matter telling them that you're already involved or you have a kid. Because if you tell them you have a kid, wow, he's so reliable. He's a father to his son, and he didn't run out on him. Like, they see that as endearing. And if you have if you're in a relationship, there are certain crazy people who see that also as a good thing. Like, it doesn't deter them. It just makes them more interested, because they're like, well, now I know that he's a guy who can maintain a relationship, so let me break it up. So yeah, that doesn't necessarily work. And I think I may have accidentally started with the wrong voicemail, because I think, I did. Let's see. The two I meant to skip are right there, and then...
Hey, Kyle and Orion. You can just not play that voicemail. That was just kind of out of the middle of nowhere.
Okay, so it was three that I should skip. That was the one where he told us to skip them. Okay, so the next one is this one.
Hey, Kyle, it's I'm Kilo. If you want to check out some of what Giant Bomb is all about, thisyearcollection.blogspot.com they make a best of a couple of different podcasts, and I believe Giant Bomb is one of them.
I have not checked that out yet, but I guess I should. Next voicemail.
Hey, guys. The sister probably wants you to come to the wedding for the reason that if you aren't there, it's going to be the, oh, he wasn't at my wedding the rest of your life, or the rest of everyone's lives. And the family members that are there will say things like, where's Kyle? Where's Kyle? Where's Kyle? And that is its own special, you know, awkwardness and whatever. But the good news, sort of maybe to try to influence you to go, is if it's that person's wedding, you actually will barely see them. They'll be so busy doing whatever that you don't actually get much of a chance to even talk to them. I've gone to a friend of mine's wedding that I hadn't seen in years, and at the wedding, I was able to walk up to him and say, hey, congratulations, and do you need me to help with anything? And I didn't speak to him the rest of the time, because he's busy. He's got, everybody comes to the bride and the groom, and they go, oh, do y'all want this, or do y'all want that, or how is this not done, or whatever else. But I was going to mention that, I thought I didn't get along with my sister growing up, but apparently it wasn't nearly as bad as, you know, that situation. But after I left the house, once I no longer was forced to spend time with them, I got into so much better relationships with everyone involved. Once I got to the point where, you know what, I'm not really caring for this conversation. I'm just going to stop talking. I'm just going to drive away. I'm just going to go home now. I'm going to hang up the phone, whatever else. Once I got that power, I got that freedom, the ability to just pick up and stop anything at whatever time, then I get along so much better with everyone involved. So I was just hoping that hopefully things have improved with your sister since then. I mean, obviously you're not nearly, you don't get mad at her as often as you used to, because you don't have to spend time with her. Maybe just another tip, and I apologize for going so long on this. She says that the wedding, like the ceremony or whatever, is at 5 o'clock. Show up at 5:05, and then, you know, wave at her from afar, because everything will be running late and they're all busy and everything else. And then you can watch her walk down the aisle and then leave.
Okay. I feel like I already covered the idea that I won't have to see her at the wedding. If I go to the wedding, I'll barely have to deal with her because she'll be too busy. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't want to go to the wedding either. Yeah, it's not just that I'll have to deal with my sister. But what else did he say? Oh, about after he left home, his relationships with his family got so much better because he had the power to take off whenever he wanted, to end any conversation whenever he wanted, and go back to his own life, his own home. The problem with that for me is that is actually, funnily enough, my empathy. I don't, because they don't, it's not like I can just up and leave. You know, like if I was there and they were bothering me, I can't just go, all right, I'm leaving now, because there are questions. We have to have a discussion about this now, you know, and it turns dark. It turns guilt trippy. It turns negative. And that it bothers me to because I can't answer their questions. I can't address their concerns about why I'm leaving, why I don't want to talk about certain things without saying things that I know are going to hurt their feelings. So it's actually, oddly enough, my empathy that I supposedly lack that prevents me from feeling like, hey, no big deal. I can just take off whenever I want. And I guess thanks for the advice on when to show up to the wedding, although I'm not going to go. Next voicemail.
Kyle, how do you fail a typography class?
Good question. And I actually meant to mention this, though, that Let's Play interview that I talked about, it is now up as of today, as of Saturday. It is now up. It is on, YouTube.com/WYLLIE1214. That is a guy who wanted to interview Let's Players, people who play video games and talk over them. And he did an interview with me. That interview is now up. And that is where I talked about failing typography. How do you fail typography? Kilo asks. Well, it's actually pretty easy. I failed typography because the only reason I was taking typography was because I was taking a handful of community college classes because I was living with my mom at the time, and my mom had said, you need to either be going to school or have a job, in order to live here. And if you're not working full time, you have to pay me rent or going to school full time. So I got it in at first. I got a job because I didn't want to go to school and I was working full time. And then something happened and I went back to part time. I only dropped one day. I was still working 4 days a week, but that pissed her off when she found out about it. And so she started charging me rent to live there. And then I was dating a girl for a while and she was kind of wondering what I was doing with my life. And I knew my mom was wondering what I was doing with my life. And I kind of decided, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. There are classes I would like to take, art classes and things like that. So I was like, I'll take some community college courses. So I started looking through the course book and I realized that all the classes I wanted to take had prerequisites. And one of the prerequisites was typography. And I thought, okay, well, I'm kind of interested in that anyway. I'm kind of a fonty guy. I'm into fonts. So I signed up for typography class as a means to an end to get to the classes I actually wanted to take. I also took a painting class and a intro to computer design class or something like that. But these were all baby classes. These were very much intro classes, like let's teach you to use a fucking computer classes, practically. The typography class, the very first assignment we had to do, the first like actual assignment project we had to work on that I didn't do, was one where we had to pick one of our initials. My initials are KAA, so I had a choice between K or A. And we pick one of our initials, pick a font, print it out on a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper as large as we wanted, and then we cut that out and make as many photocopies as we want so we can have as many copies of this one letter as we want. And we cut it out and we arrange them we tried to form a logo from as many copies of that letter in that particular size and type style as we wanted, which is, it's a fucking baby exercise. There's no reason you would ever have to do that, ever. But it was to get us, it was to familiarize us with working with type. It was an impossible assignment to make anything good out of. I tried to do it. I had a couple cutouts of A's and I'm arranging them on this piece of paper. And there's nothing I couldn't even like flip. If I wanted to do K's, I couldn't even do something like have one backwards K and right next to it, a regular K so that their spines are kind of in the same place. I couldn't even do that because they had to be the exact same shape and size every single one of these iterations of the letter. I couldn't do something like have one A that was filled in and one that was just outlines. I couldn't do anything at all creative. It was just collage. That's all it was. And it was stupid. I didn't need to do it. And it was a pointless exercise. So I didn't do it. I figured, fuck it. I'm coming to this class voluntarily. I'm paying to go here. I'm not going to do the shit I don't want to do. And it turned out that there was one assignment that whole semester that I didn't think was stupid. And it was one where they gave us a list. They gave us each a company name and a brief summary of what that company did. And then we had to create a logo for that company. That was the only assignment in the entire time I was there that A, made any fucking sense, and B, was enjoyable to do. So it was the only one I did do. So I failed the class. I don't do well in classroom environments. And that's why I failed the class. It's pretty easy. What's the next voicemail here? There we go.
Hey, Orion. I don't know if you want to...
Oops, I already played that one. What's the next one after that?
Okay, new plan. Orion, now that I hear the part about her looking for a shoe, tell them what you do. You say, oh, man, you guys, you know, if you have any more questions, feel free to text message me and then give them phone number 480-744-4873. That's my phone number that isn't a phone number that I can get text messages on, like a Google Voice thing, which, heck, I guess as long as we're here, I'll give them a plug. It's called Text-Free. It's an iPhone app, which is really great just because you can put this phone number out there anywhere and share it with people and whatever else. And if you end up, you know, not caring to hear from them anymore, I'll just delete the account and sign up for a new one because they give you, like, unlimited text messaging and I think 10 free minutes when you first sign up. I have no idea how much it costs in order to buy additional minutes because I've never talked on the phone with it. But, yeah, good times.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to find out how to hang up on this phone call. Love the show, guys.
All right, bye. All right, so what I heard here was I'm Kilo saying to Orion, hey, Orion, next time some horny 15-year-olds are all up in your business, give them my secret phone number and have them text me. That's what I heard just now from I'm Kilo. I don't know why Orion would need to, you're asking him to volunteer his information, even though it's not his actual information, which is just encouraging them, you know, to say, oh, why don't you text me later? Even if you're giving them a fake phone number is could only be counterproductive. So what I'm hearing here is I'm Kilo advertising an iPhone app and asking for horny 15-year-olds to text him at his secret phone number. So thanks for that, I'm Kilo. And the last voicemail.
Hey, that specific app, in case you're looking for it in the App Store, or for anybody involved, is text-free, all one word, text-free voice plus voicemail from Pinger Inc.
All right, so that is our sponsor this week is text-free something or other from Pinger Inc. Did you make this, I'm Kilo? Did you make this iPhone app? Is that what this is about? This is a stealth plug? I don't know. So that's all the voicemails and all the Twitters and all of the family. And I don't really think I have any. I mean, I do have other stuff I could talk about, but it'd be dumb. I played a video game this week called Owl Boy. It was actually just a demo. It's a PC game, but it's all retro 2D sprite art. And it was fun. The artwork is beautiful. Although the way it works is it's controlled with the mouse and the keyboard. It's a platforming kind of game, but you can fly. And so you control your character with the keyboard and then you control this like aiming reticle with the mouse. And sometimes when you're flying, the screen zooms out to show you more of the screen, which is cool from a functionality point of view, but really sucks because the game is like a 2D pixel art, beautiful game, and zooming out like that ruins the artwork. It makes it look all stupid. But otherwise, it's a beautiful game. It's fun. And I was reading about it, and I guess since the demo's come out, they've already fixed some of the problems people were complaining about. So check that out if you haven't. I watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I enjoyed that. Yeah, I'm just going to end the show now. So, as usual, you can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com, and you can email Orion at orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 616-328-5581. That is 616-328-5581. 5581. You can check us out on the Facebook and the Twitter, facebook.com/itchhat and twitter.com/itchhat. And of course, you can check out our forums. ijusthadaterriblethought.com/forum. And you can donate because I like money. So send it to me. Donate. And that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll check you next week.